Hi, and welcome to another episode of DGen BJJ with me, Irish Mike, and my co-host,
Ken.
How are we getting on, Ken?
Doing all right. Well, doing a bit better now. As you're aware, this show nearly didn't happen because I was struck down with a severe bout of toothache after doing the conditioning this morning. I'm sure the two aren't related, but I'm gonna blame the interval training for the toothache and use it as an excuse to maybe never go again.
So I didn't actually know that was on today. I didn't even because it's morning stuff. I don't really pay much attention to it. For anybody that's wondering, there's a competition class have started for our run into the Reading Open, with Pro Sport grappling, and you had conditioning from 8 to 9 today, was it?
Yeah, so we had the normal Nogi class 7 to 8, and yeah. Then the comp conditioning's on 8 till 9. Mm. It ran for about 40 minutes. It's just like it's interval training, really, like, you know, mat based stuff. You did it last time for Fleet.
I never did it in the
Did you not? It's like stuff like movement by burpees. You'll like do a sprints like there at like length of the mats and back, and then have to do like a certain number of reps of a bodyweight exercise and do it again. And yeah, it's just Dom just shouting orders at you and getting you fucked pretty much. And yeah, it was particularly tough after, because I've upped the training a little bit, obviously, with the comp coming up.
Turn the intensity up.
Like. Touch wood. I feel like the best. There we go. I've reached around for some wood somewhere. But yeah, I feel like injury-wise, I'm the best I've been since last September, really, when I did my shoulder. So I turned up the intensity the last few days training, which has been nice, like putting a bit more pace into rolls and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, having a few tough rounds and then being like, oh yeah, now I've got to do conditioning.
Yeah. It's your kind of, you spent yourself in the class, like.
There were only 4 or 5 of us doing the conditioning, and most of them turned up at 8 to do just the conditioning. They hadn't done the Nogi
really,
in the morning. So yeah, it was an experience. But yeah, I'll see if I get a toothache again after next week, so maybe knock it on the head. But I do feel, like, I think I said this on the last one, I do feel like the benefit of that, like, when it's something I probably would never do on my own to that degree. Like, it's tough to push yourself like that unless you've got
someone
being kind of drill sergeant-y and making you do the laps. But the thing I really noticed last time was, you know, when you're having those like big sessions at an open mat and you've done like 6, 7, 8 rounds, mm-hmm. it's like the ability to still be kind of not fucked in the late rounds and like still be present and able to think about techniques and think about what you're doing. Whereas like recently, when I get that deep into the rounds, I'm just like not really able to compute anything. And then you know when you break down a roll afterwards, you're like, oh fuck, there were all these techniques. Like,
I should have went this way. I could have done that way.
You're so fucked. Your brain can't even process the information, and then you're just being squashed inside control, and that's it.
I mean, I'm not saying that my jiu-jitsu is fucking fantastic or anything, but like the worst part of my game is my conditioning. Like, whatever about being in closed guard or having someone in fucking mounting me or whatever, side control, whatever. It's just conditioning, like, that's my worst part, and I know it. Like, I'm ghost after 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, depending on the intensity of how it starts. Like,
so you're gonna do the sprint training Saturday morning?
Yeah, I'm thinking of doing. We have an exercise bike at home, the flat, like, so I'm thinking of actually doing a bit just to get the lungs opening up a bit. I was going to do it this morning, actually.
But just some like steady stuff to just get you used to.
Do you know?
We'll do lots of intervals on the bike.
Yeah. Do you know the way? You kind of go. What is it, like 5 minutes of normal? That's such a heart rate, and then like for 1 minute you go fucking spastic, and then you go leave it off again and go normal, and something like that. I used to do it like fucking years ago when I first joined the gym, and I like didn't mind doing cardio based activities. I'd do then before the juice hit, and I just wanted to fucking outlift everyone.
But well, you getting back on that as well for the
100%.
You're looking healthy, mate.
I haven't touched it. If someone knows a supplier that I can get needles, please, because I just realised I have all the testosterone and no needles.
Obviously, everything said on the DGEN BJJ podcast is purely in jest.
I mean, like, DM me, that Irish Mike. In jest, allegedly.
Speaking of things in jest, there's, I hadn't thought there, and I've just trailed off, so. I don't know, when we were chatting about setting up this podcast this week, we were maybe going to have a guest and we weren't sure, and you were like, I've got nothing to talk about. Like, nothing has happened to me in the last 2 weeks. But in my opinion, Mike, that isn't to be believed. So
I don't know where you're going to go with this, I'm afraid.
I've got three or four things I kind of want to go through with you, so you can, I'll offer them up.
You're not going to call me childish, are you?
No, not going to.
It's a hidden joke, but anyway.
Not going to call you childish just yet. But yeah, there were four things that have jumped out that have happened in the last couple of weeks since we last recorded that I thought you might want to talk about. So I'm going to offer up the list of four and you can pick any combination of them to talk about, and I might ask some questions about the ones you choose not to. So we've got the pre-Lisbon session before I flew to Lisbon, and then you boys training at Impact that weekend.
Oh yeah.
We've got the fact that you coincidentally have no work the same week that Cheltenham's on. And I've seen some rather early pints in the last few days. And we've got you living that pro life, which seems to entail getting out of bed at 11 a.m. and cracking on with your day there. Maybe training mid-afternoon if possible. And the rash guards, which you teased last week, last episode, that you've seen the mock-up for. So I want to get through all those topics. Where would you, before I go on my Lisbon monologue, so where would you like to start there?
Okay, let's start with the latter, the rash guards.
Yep.
Hopefully have them this week. Rory is fighting on Fusion, which is on the 16th, which I had said I'd go to, but sorry, Rory, like Paddy's Day is the next day, so I will be drunk that day and the day after, and possibly the way I've no work, as you alluded to earlier, the day before that, and tomorrow maybe. But I have 20 large, 20 medium coming of the green, we'll call them Italia jerseys, which is the kind of, yeah, I won't lend myself too much into that, but you'll get the gist. I'm Irish, and just think of Italia 90 and you'll kind of, it'll all mesh very easy. And I have three samples coming of black rash guard with the same, the writing the same, but just without the shamrock on it. And it has the DGen crest on the, over the heart side. And on the back is the podcast thumbnail, it covers the complete back. Oh no, sorry. Yeah, it does on that one. And then I have a yellow one coming and a pink one coming, which is the same, but on the back, it's a back patch instead. So we'll see what people like and we'll do a pre-order. I might come up with another couple of designs as well. Interesting thing about it. If you're looking for a graded rash guard, right? DGen BJJ goes the whole fucking 9 yards for your graded rash guard. You will not get a graded rash guard like we do it. We do every belt, every stripe. Okay? So if you are
Mike's cashing in. It's like, you know, people buying rash guards once a promotion is not enough for me. I want to be able to capitalise on the individual stripes.
So if you are someone that, like, you know, you want to be at that point, you'll see that our logo has three stripes. We're currently three stripes, but I had none at the time and you had two, and I was like, I'll get one soon. So I put it in this tree in my mind, you know.
And, manifesting that shit.
Yeah. So,
and then you got three.
Yeah, so.
Manifested it.
But so it's kind of cool. I mean, it's a little bit more personal for the person, and like, I might add some different things where you can customise it a bit more yourself, but I'll see. I'm not sure. We'll have to see
I'm keen to see these rash guards turn up, because obviously we talked about it last 2 weeks ago, and to be honest to the listeners, that was the first, it's not even something, we talked about the idea of potentially Mike putting some rash guards on order, but for him to say, oh yeah, the Irish ones, so I've pulled the trigger on the Italia range, and I was like, okay. And off air we had some conversations that were like, so this company, did you look at any reviews of them at all? No, I didn't, mate. They just, you know, had some good back and forth with them. You know, some of the people I'd spoken to previously, communication had broken down, and these guys were a little better. And I liked the kind of design and the price point, so I put in an order, and it's like, well, we'll see if that ever turns up. It's like, they've got a .com website. I'm like, yep, well, anyone can get one of those for $6.99, so that's not setting them apart from anything. But
I mean, they sent me the ones, yeah, and I put the pictures up, so we actually have a picture of a rash guard made.
So somewhere in the world, there is one rash guard made, but we'll see if they turn up. If they do, I'm really, they look, the mock-up one that he's done, the prototype, looks really cool, man. So
I think, like, to see that. We might do like a graded bunch where the sleeves are like blue and that colour to match the whether it's a back patch or a fully covered back. We'll see what way the two ones come, and we'll go from there. And like, I think we'll make an away days one, which will be for everybody, because people who like to cross train and things like that, you know, are going to have some thinking of a tagline or something like that, you know. I'll probably put a hashtag away days on the top or something. I don't know. We'll see. Look, lots to be ironed out in it. But if you have any ideas,
marketing, Mark's diversified. He's in the fashion business.
Yeah, I need to, because I've no fucking job. But in all honesty, though, if there is anything that anyone would like from a rash guard, if there's like the reason I made the Italia ones is because I wanted a rash guard that looked like that. And I said, there's definitely 20 other people that would like that. I'll probably sell them, and if to people I don't know, and then I can just give the rest away to friends.
Yeah, we've got some, like, you know, in the chat, like, we've the a few of our listeners are privy to it because they're involved in the same chat, but we've got some cool ideas for other limited runs that could come up as well. I think there's a lot of potential in that same. Again,
it's hard to know where to tread your feet.
It's hard to know where this strays into straight up copyright infringement. So in attempting not to think in a similar vein to the what Mike's described,
I mean, like, the way I think of it is the world has gone on for so long and teams have been about so long. I mean, if it coincidentally looks like something else,
exactly,
it's by accident.
There's only so many colours and patterns you can put out there. So if these look like kind of classic football shirts from years gone by, then who are we to say that we didn't just stumble on the same brilliant idea at the same time? I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's not going to have their crest or their sponsor or whoever made their jersey. They're made by us. So
exactly.
It's going to be like completely different, really.
And yeah. No letters have been received yet, so yeah, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Yeah.
So moving swiftly on from copyright laws, Michael, let's roll the next point, though.
From being broke to getting sued.
Yeah, let's talk about No Work Cheltenham and you living that pro life all as one, because they are kind of co-related points. So obviously, you probably don't want to talk too much about the work situation, because
I don't give a fuck, to be honest.
It's work, though, and not. We're not here to talk about our jobs.
Being self-employed, I don't really care. I'm checking other avenues, and by checking other avenues, I mean I've probably texted one person in the last 3 weeks about work. But I was still in the place where it was only last Friday I actually finalised finishing. So,
Are you gonna go on a load of weird health kicks like you did last time you were without work and what was it? The anal bleaching or whatever else you were doing?
I was so tempted to fasting all this week. And I just woke up and I was like, man, I'm fucking hungry. I ain't fucking fasting. Do you know what I mean? And I actually wanted to go do jiu-jitsu tomorrow, but my knee, obviously, well, that'll lead into the thing. But yeah, look, here, it's Cheltenham, right? If I was at home, I'd be in the pub fucking most days this week anyway, backing horses. And it would be the fucking best crack you've ever seen in your life. And you get up in the morning, you work till fucking 12 o'clock or half 12, and you get your day's work done, and then you go to the pub, and you get paid full shift, because you just bust your ass for the fucking 5 hours. And you see, that's how you do it, like, you know what I mean? This, I could go on a big fucking rant about how construction industry is ruined in this. I went to an Irish pub yesterday, right, I'm not going to name it, there's only fucking two in Reading, and I don't drink in one of them, so. 8 people, including myself, and one lad was watching boxing on the TV below. What's wrong with the country? And there's a building site across the road, like. What's going on, like?
It's not enough degenerates out there, Michael.
No, it's... the whole thing is ruined, man. It's ruined. Absolutely ruined. And I felt... And then I went back up to the pub I was drinking in, which is...
Mobile gambling has killed that whole atmosphere of going to the bookie, laying bets, going to the boozer to watch it, I think. And obviously cost of living squeezed the last few mites out of the boozers as well, so...
That and COVID, like, COVID has fucked
also,
everything.
And also...
COVID fucked everything.
Let's not ignore the fact...
I watched the fucking Gold Cup race in a pub during COVID, and there was fucking 20 people in there, all gambling and betting. And no, I know they all had no work. But
let's not ignore the fact we are talking at about 1 p.m. on a Tuesday afternoon.
It was 1:30.
So the respectable people do have jobs, my friend.
Yeah, but like, even when I was fucking working, I managed to sneak off and watch some fucking sort of race. I don't know. It depends. I think it's, I suppose, like you say, a degenerate thing. But like, fucking Cheltenham is like I don't even like jump racing. Right?
Yeah. Now, as an ex-bookie, I would say that the younger and younger generations of gambling could give two fucks about horse racing and those sports. You know, most of them are on the like the pokies, they call it in Oz.
Fruit machines.
Yeah, the spinners and the roulette and the blackjack on all of those. And the few that do sports bets, it's all football and occasionally combat sports. But yeah,
it's just fucking fuck. But anyway, so
the pro life, Michael.
Pro life. Yeah. So that's just
from degenerate gambling to the pro life.
Yeah. So I done the double, didn't I? Done an 8 o'clock or 7 to 8 class and a 12 to 1 class in one day. That was good.
Been injured ever since.
No, I was injured. I popped my knee a few weeks back, about a month ago, or maybe a little bit more, and it did pop, like, and the guy was rolling my time, and fucking hell, it wasn't anything he did or anything like that, that's why I'm just not going to name names, because it'll just feel bad, and so I just didn't roll the rest of that, and then I gave it like 4 or 5 days after that, went on again, rolled against another guy, I was in lockdown, tried to get out, felt something snap, just gave up the fucking roll there as well. And we went to Impact then to do the away days, which was 2 weeks again after that. Everything feels fine. Like, I know my knee's a bit dodgy, but having no problems rolling or anything like that, you just know there's something going on there, you know. And I rolled my third round, and this guy is significantly lighter than me. I forget his name, but he looks like Bobby Churchhouse a small bit. He's like a younger version of him, like, kind of has this chiseled jawline and stuff, you know what I mean? Athletic looking young fella. And
it's all right to fancy him, mate.
Yeah, just keep jiu-jitsu gay. But he shot a double on me, and I picked up a lovely guillotine. I mean, it was fucking lovely. And as I brought my right leg up to meet his waist, you know, it'll go over his back once I land, like, all the weight went back onto my left leg as he was shooting through. And something just went. And it wasn't a pop or anything, but it was just fucking excruciating pain for like about 25 seconds, like. And I was just like, fuck. And then it went away again, as it does, because it just comes and goes like that quickly. And I was like, sitting on sidelines going, I'd nearly get back up, because it's 2 hours of rolling, like. So we're there, and I'm there 15 minutes in, and it's fucking sitting on the sidelines, but they gave me ice straight away, and I was like, I'd nearly go back out again. And I didn't, like, but I am, you know me, I'm moronic enough to do it, like, but I didn't.
Well, we've all been there. And then the first few times you do that, you know, when you, like, feel something pop, like, and then just be like, no, I'm just going to roll through the rest of this session. Yeah. And then you're fucked.
Super fucked.
For, like, a few days afterwards, you're like, oh, my God. Now, like, as soon as something pops or, like, you get that sharp pain, it's like, right, I'm just going to sit out and hopefully it will minimise the long-term damage.
And then we went for a few beers afterwards with a few of the guys. It was Bobby Churchhouse's birthday the same day.
So this was the Impact session?
Yeah, Impact. Yeah. Okay. They have this little boozer, it's like a brewery next to them, and they make all their own ciders. And
had you recovered?
No, I could walk fine, like.
Yeah, no, I was not recovered. I mean, go even go into Impact, because a couple of days before Impact, before I flew off to Lisbon, Michael, who sat opposite me, and Bobby Churchhouse, who we've heard mentioned several times, tempted me into town for a quiet couple of pints that ended up escalating. And I had probably one of the most disgusting kind of hangovers that you want the first day of a holiday. So cheers for that, gents.
I forgot all about that, actually. that's how bad my mind is. I forgot we even went drinking. That was a long session.
That shows you what type of session it was. Hey, no one's got any recollection of it the day after. And those that do are denying it ever happened. So yeah, you'd all recovered and you got some good rolls. Or you didn't, but the rest of the team. Yeah. How many lads did you go up there with this time?
Bought Lucas, Lucas North, Rob Crawford from our gym, Bobby, myself, and... just mentioned, Rory came down as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so boys got good roles, yeah. There was a good crowd there, like, you know, and as I say, they're all nice guys. And Lucas was taking pictures inside in the cage. They have there doing handstands and all this stuff. Bobby sent on pictures into the group. There must have been 20 pictures of Lucas doing handstands and fucking moves inside in the cage. I don't know what it was about, but fuck, you know.
Yeah, you've got to get those photo shoots in when you can.
Yeah, that's it. Now there is one of him doing a one-handed, well, you know, like a cartwheel or kind of a thing, and it does look kind of cool. Like, I was like,
don't tell him that, he listens. Come on, man. But yeah, so that's good. And what's it? Well, obviously the knee's not good, but you're back training now. You went lunch today, did you?
No, I didn't bother.
You did a comp class. You've done one of the comp classes.
I done the comp class Monday, yeah, and it was going really well, like, and I was going against one of the lads, and it was like the drill was to, you had to pass, like you had to score points basically, or they have to sweep you, or they have to score points or submit you, and you just keep going till you pass. And I was trying to pass, and whatever way I came, I don't know whatever way it was anyway, but I stood, I planted my leg, and it's just pain again, and I just had to stop, like. And it wasn't even a movement that, like, it wasn't something that my opponent did to me. It was just the way,
just the way you planted your leg.
Just the way I planted my leg. Same thing as the other thing. And it's like I bought one of the Anaconda knee braces, and I had that on. And it's actually fairly good. Really fucking good brace, like, fucking strong on the leg, like. But it's not going to, I don't think a knee brace is going to save what's causing this issue, because it's the way whatever it moves. But I'd say it did help. It did help a bit because of the way it's reinforced. But
you had it checked for stability and stuff, though, didn't you? And a knee brace will help if you need to keep it stable. But if you've got something that's mechanically fucked inside the knee, I don't think.
No, she said it's like an LCL tear, or not tear, a sprain. Sorry, possibly a sprain. But the way it feels so good the next day, it's definitely, it's not something serious, but it is something that needs addressing, I think. It's because it's only when my knee is at a certain angle, you know, that it's like turned to the side, turned inwards, possibly pushing off, or turned outwards, but not turned outwards because I didn't put the pressure on it. But I'd say it's turned inwards because I'm probably attacking, you know, when you're twisting your leg in to go whatever direction you're moving, you're probably going shooting, like, so. I think that's what caused it. So I'll go train tomorrow, whether it be morning or lunch. Depends on my time I wake up.
Fair play to you. Fair play to
you. Don't live this pro life.
Before I go into my Lisbon monologue, I did want to ask, because we've talked about the comp classes, obviously, you know, we've got a couple of conditioning classes a week and three actual comp, like, jiu-jitsu classes. I think it's three. Yeah, it is.
Three Monday night, Wednesday night, and Tuesday morning, or Friday morning,
then two morning conditioning classes.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, going into this comp, when was the last time you competed?
Oh, it's a long time
ago. It's been a while for me as well, since Brighton, and we've talked about that on air. And
mine was before that. Like.
Yeah, I wasn't sure whether you'd done one more.
Euros, All-Star Euros. Euros, All-Stars and Crystal Palace, I think was my last
one. You did one after that, the one that I came to that was quite local, the Surrey one. Was that?
Oh, that was myself and Tom Lucas, was it?
I can't remember. A few of us came to that.
Oh, yeah, that was the one, with the picture on the map.
The picture of you sat mat side looking for lawn.
Fucking sulk.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, obviously, doing the comp classes, doing the conditioning, like, you don't do that for every competition. I don't do that for every competition. Is there something you're hoping to get out of this comp? Like, you know, is there something you...
If I can raise my cardio, I'll be happy. If I can go 5 rounds without getting tired, which is not going to happen, but if I can go 4 minutes without getting tired, that would be fucking... If I could reach that, 4 minutes without being tired...
4 minutes?
Mm.
Just 4 minutes of a round?
Yeah.
Without being tired?
Mm.
You've set the bar low, Michael. I think you can achieve this. I honestly...
Well, we'll see, won't we?
Yeah, so your main goal
I need to be double... If I'm getting a hard pace round, I need to be...
I love how honest you are about this.
I need to be twice as good as I am now.
You've got...
Which is really hard to double.
Anyone that rolls with Mark regularly, and I know that most of our listeners are local anyway, just remember, he's got 2 good minutes in him. Just
tire
him out for those 2 minutes.
I'm good at holding people. Like, I have my strength, like, but I can hold certain people in positions if I'm in top, like, which is what I do to rest. And then once I get my fucking juice back, I'll attack again, but... I just don't manage my time correctly. But if I had 4 minutes, I reckon my jiu-jitsu would be even better.
So you're going to use the comp as kind of
I'm going to use it to improve my jiu-jitsu.
Just to make...
A whole round, yeah.
Yeah, but one of the big focuses...
No, cardio is the main cardio. Focus.
That's cool, man.
I mean, I'm just going to refine the fundamentals. I'm not looking to add anything, really. I mean, maybe a takedown or something, but I just want to polish what I have. And maybe look at different, continue building my game, but fundamentals, I think, and cardio are just going to be what I'm going to be working on. And if I lose, I don't really care, to be honest. It's not going to bother me. It'll bother me on the day, like, I'll fucking probably...
Yeah, you don't turn up to lose, but no, that's the same. Because one of the I think it was a Sunday or earlier this week, someone was talking to me and saying, like, oh, you know, is all of this worth it, like doing the conditioning and stuff? Like, you know, you go there and lose in the first round. And
it is at the end, if it works out for you. But
I was like, regardless of whether you go there losing the first round or, like, you know, you are going to improve, whether it be, you know, your cardio improves substantially, you know, your fundamentals, like you say, or, you know, you add a couple of extra details to your game, you know, you get a couple of extra defences. Like, doing that sort of intense focus track, I wouldn't want to do it every, you know, I wouldn't want this to be like how my jiu-jitsu training is normally all the time. I think it would suck the fun out of it, you know, if it was like this all the time. But doing it in stints to focus, because I've noticed, because, you know, I said, was it 2 or 4 weeks ago, I said about, like, for the first time ever, I'm lacking direction. I feel like I haven't got a focus. Like, just having this as a goal has, you know, like, the last few sessions, the main thing I've been looking for is sweeps and back takes from guard. Like, so I'll get to positions where I'll sweep someone and let them come back up so I can work the same sweep again or a different sweep.
Okay.
And like, and that's how I always have been before. So just having this as at the end of you know, the end of the 6 weeks has given me the kind of, what I was wanted to do it for was to get that focus and that kind of real intense ability to focus on specific techniques back, because I felt like I was, you know, every time I turned up there, I was just going there to have a roll around and see what happened. And I feel like just knowing that there's a comp at the end of it and we're doing the conditioning alongside it has helped with that. So I just wondered if you had anything.
I think the team mentality of it, and we're all going together as well. And like, when we're all up there suffering, it's kind of like jiu-jitsu, the way it brings you closer, the way we're trying to strangle and kill each other. But like, I love fucking jiu-jitsu. I laugh when someone catches me in a fucking savage mood, like, or a savage technique or move, like, you know, or choke me out a certain way. Like, I laugh at it, like, and say, that's fantastic. Like, I'm going to hate every fucking single second of hill sprints. Even just a little jog around to warm up to start, I'm out of breath by the time before we even leave the park, like, you know. So I'm just going to hate this, but we're all going through it together, you know. And I actually don't think there's many people as unfit as me.
What, they train?
Yeah. I'd actually put that out there, yeah, 100%. Like.
How can we prove or disprove this? We'll have to think of a little test. If anyone who's listening, or especially the guys that are in the big DGEN WhatsApp chat, like the DGEN pod one.
And I'm not doing any extra exercises either to test this.
How we can test Mike's lack of fitness compared to other people we train with, please do suggest them, because I'd be... I think you are really hard on yourself, mate, and I think...
I think I'm honest.
I think it's like... Yeah, to a point where, like, of humour, because you've definitely got more than 2 minutes in you, mate.
I don't, honestly. You fucking know full well, man. I'm not saying, like, 5 minute round, fucking 2 minutes of fucking, oh, let's try and do this, let's try and, I'm talking about, I'm trying to pass, I'm trying to in, we're trying to go, you're fighting me, you're re-guarding, I'm not passing, you're re-guarding, I'm trying to get in. Like, fucking proper back and forth, like what we have. Do you think I don't hold your gi and fucking hold you in position sometimes to fucking get my 20 seconds back, like, to try and attack again?
That's all tactics, though, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
I'll bear that in mind. We need to run one no-gi.
I'm fucked in, yeah.
Less grips, but...
I did get taken out in that no-gi round, like, at that Crystal Palace thing, in, like, about 40, 50 seconds, like. Your man just shot at me, and I don't know why.
Was that when you collapsed in the wheelbarrow after? Or was that before?
When I collapsed in the wheelbarrow.
You were lying. It wasn't a wheelbarrow. I'm making it sound worse than it was. The dolly to pull around the equipment. Like, you went out.
Oh, yeah.
You went out the fire escape.
Yeah, that was that one, yeah. But your man, your man came in and I just thought, you know, you shoot the hand around, try and grab his hip. He was going from my back. And so I just grabbed his leg, which meant he just hooked my leg in as he had my body. And then, like, he stretched me out as he choked me. It was just one of the worst feelings ever. Like, but it was like...
Yeah, fair play.
Fantastic to him, like, you know. I can laugh about it now. I was really depressed then, like, it was like fucking like Conor McGregor, Jose Aldo shit. Like, it felt like it was only 13 seconds I was fucking in there, you know what I mean? It was tapping out fucking 2 seconds later, like. But
sounds like you got over it, mate.
Yeah.
Sounds like you've dealt with it. The look on your face tells me a different story.
But I did no prep for that comp. So
there you go, you got an out.
Well, that's on me, like. Yeah. It's not really an out, really. It's
an excuse you tell yourself to make the losing easier.
Yeah, I suppose. I suppose it is an out, yeah. Just another, more being honest, I suppose. But Lisbon, anyway. I've seen. I feel like I've been fucking confessing my sins here to the priest.
I told you. He's like, I've got nothing to say from before we sat down. Like, in addition to the thing saying nothing interesting's happened to him. And I was like, I'm sure you've got something to say. And now we're 30 minutes in and it's all been about you, Michael. So here's what I've been waiting for. The Lisbon monologue, shall we call it. Obviously I said last time I was going to go away and train in Lisbon. Lisbon was a really cool experience. So I actually want to have a little prologue to this story about Weymouth, because we weren't doing the podcast when I went and trained in Weymouth. That was last time we were doing the conditioning camp was for that fleet competition.
Okay.
Like with when our coach Dom was running the conditioning and the comp classes, was for the fleet comp in 2002. And like during that camp was my birthday, and I went away to Weymouth with my missus and parents, and I went and trained out there. And it was similar to like I was saying when I was away. Before I went to Lisbon, when I'm away, I like to train early in the mornings to get it out of the way, so you can enjoy the rest of the time, and you're not like,
yeah,
you know, ruining your family's entire day because you're trying to just do jiu-jitsu all day. So the only morning classes they had there were at 6 a.m., which obviously while you're away is a
symbolic.
It's a horribly early time to get up, especially when you're
because you want to drink in the evening.
Exactly, and you know it's my birthday as well. It was the only drink I think I've had in that camp as well, because I try and eat, like I said, go back cutting to 76 back then was probably the biggest battle for me, was actually making weight on the day, and which is thankfully something I'm hopefully not going to have to deal with in Reading. But
people just to cut across, people need to remember that this competition, you're weighing in before you fight. You're not weighing in the morning and fucking, do you know what I mean, going about and be able to rehydrate. You're weighing in before you fight. So don't be digesting yourself down thinking you're going to come in.
Yeah, cut those scales, dehydrate. And they're also, most of theirs, that you have like a window you can weigh in at. So it's not like you can, like All Stars, you can, if you're competing at 1 p.m, you can rock up at 7 or 8 whenever the scale opens, weigh yourself in. And
it's not like that with rehydrate.
You know, this is like, you know, you want to be competing at your walk round weight, and I've come back from Lisbon at weighing just over 80 kilos, so I think middleweight is in my future.
Sorry, it's quite crass.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. So anyway, I was in a weight cut, and I was in Weymouth, and it was like my birthday weekend, so I was like, I'm gonna have some drinks and enjoy myself, and then just be hot back on the diet for the rest of the camp. So this gym, I found it on Google. It's called Jurassic BJJ.
Savage name.
Yeah, it's Jurassic Coast as well down there. So at the time it was based, they're not there anymore. They've got a new location that's actually more in Weymouth. But I'll put the link in the bio for anyone.
Are they still called Jurassic BJJ?
Yeah, it's still called Jurassic BJJ. It was just a random find. It was the nearest one to our Airbnb where I just Googled BJJ. There was one in town that looked a bit like... you've not been to the one, you know, the one in Didcot or South Morton that does MMA, wrestling, boxing, kickboxing, you know, it's got like a roster for everything. There was one of them in Weymouth, the one that runs the, they do a competition once a year where it's like grappling on the sand, like scraps on the sand.
Subs on the sand.
That's it.
Supposed to give them three keys there.
It's the combat lab. So that was the original one I saw, but then it's like it's Weymouth Town Centre, parking's not fantastic, and it was a bit of a mission from the Airbnb. So I stumbled on this other one, and I was like, oh, they've got a 6 a.m. class, let's go there. Driving there in October, pitch black at 6 a.m, driving up this little single track country lane sort of thing, like pull into what I think is the farm, and it's got a load of like, you know, the farm buildings, then a load of like the corrugated iron, like kind of hangers. There's a mechanics over there with like articulated trucks, like the front of a cab of a truck taken apart. There's no lights on anywhere, so I'm driving around this farm at quarter to six in the morning, like in the car, like, fuck's sake, like, you know these things when you look up a jiu-jitsu schedule online and you're like, oh, is this just complete, was this a gym 5 years ago and no one's trained here since? So I find the number on the thing and call him, and the fella's like, oh, you're coming to train? He's like, I'm actually just up the road now. So I'm like, thank fuck, there's going to be some jiu-jitsu here. He hops out his truck and like lets me into one of the hangers, and it's like in the corrugated hangar, you know, no heating, no, you know, I like the spit and sawdust gym, so there's no heating, no air, nothing like that, freezing, you know, you're feeling the temperature is outside, but they've got a load of puzzle mats down, You know, there's a couple of big flags hung on the wall, and there's a timer. It's all you need. Yeah. So the fella that ran it, Chris, when I rocked up and started getting changed, he was like, "Oh, so you're at Dominic's place in Reading?" Like before I'd even mentioned. So I think I'd messaged him on Instagram before, and he'd obviously looked at my profile, yeah. And I was like, "Oh yeah, I am." He was like, "Yeah, I knew Dominic as a blue or purple belt," and he was like, "He was a nightmare back then, so I can't imagine what he's like to roll with now." And I was like, the fella's probably, you know, a few years older than Dom, and it's like, "Oh, this geezer like knows his jiu-jitsu." So we get talking. He's actually, the fella Chris Hearn is a Nick Brooks black belt. So I don't know, I know you're not super on Nick. So
I wouldn't know anything.
Nick Brooks is the guy that founded Mill Hill, which is where Raspberry Ape kind of trained. So Chris also knew, he was like, "Yeah, I know Dan Strauss when he came in as a white belt, like skinny lad, had never grappled before in his life."
He was like, "Want to say something else?"
saw the transformation of him. So yeah, Nick Brooks was one of Roger's brown belts when he opened that gym. Nick died a few years ago, really sad situation. Before, I don't know the specifics of it. It's something to do with I don't want to talk out of turn on it, but something to do with a blood clot or, you know, stroke. Very much ahead of his time. And he's, every single person I've met in my travels around that knew Nick Brooks or trained with him has had nothing but brilliant things to say about the guy. He was very much like a pioneer of jiu-jitsu in the country. And Chris was one of his OG black belts that trained with him. Yeah. Chris got his black belt from Nick, as far as I'm understanding. So I trained with them in Weymouth, you know, had a good session. It's only me, Chris, and one other lad that turned up. So we kind of just did a loose warm-up and then just asked him questions about certain positions. And his knowledge, you know, the sort of people where it's like, you ask them a simple question and then you get this answer that you're just like, there's a lot more to that than I expected. Yeah, yeah. Where it's like, "Oh, well, you can do this." And then, so you'd ask him we were doing some stuff from leg entanglements, and he was like, "Oh, well, you can do this and this and this and this." And it was like the options that off of it. It was like, "I have stumbled on this gym just by purely Googling the place that's got the closest geographical relationship to where I'm staying." And this guy is like, not only does he know my coach from back in the day, because Dom's like quite an old school black belt in that term. So if he knew Dom as a blue and black when he was in the coloured belts, it's like, this guy's obviously been about the scene a bit, and then obviously had a massive depth of knowledge, and it was really, really just good vibes, good training. And we chatted on social media a little bit afterwards because he was just a super safe guy. So that story might seem like it's got no relevance to Lisbon at all, but hopefully it will tie everything up in a minute and make the kind of point that I want to make about away days as well to close out. So there is logic to this madness and rambling, Mike. If you've got any questions or want to interrupt me to...
No, I'm just sitting here enjoying this.
To change it from a monologue, please feel free to. So, Lisbon. So I got to Lisbon, had the recommendation from both Zach and Christian, who train at Matt House.
Someone messaged the DGEN Instagram and said, "Oh, is whoever still there?" And I said, "Oh, I don't know, because Ken went, and I can't remember who it is." As again, I'm always useless with the information.
Oh, really? I'll have to jump on that and have a look. We'll have a look.
And, as you're telling your story. Don't
yeah. Me. So Zach and Christian had recommended it. So where me and my missus stayed in Lisbon is quite a cool area of the old town, but it's like no cars are allowed around a lot of it, and it's all just steep cobbled streets. So
that's nice.
As we've discussed pretty much ad nauseum on this podcast, we both like a drink. So the 7 a.m. sessions definitely weren't happening while I was over there. So I decided to go to the 10 a.m. on the Tuesday. It was a 10 a.m. no-gi session. What I didn't realise was to get to the metro before getting to jiu-jitsu, get to the underground, to get to jiu-jitsu, I had a 15-minute straight uphill climb.
What?
To get to the metro, because of where our flat was in relation to the metro station. So I'm climbing up all these cobbled streets, gear in my bag, blowing out my arse, considering to just... sack it off and be like, "You know what, I'm on holiday." But I'd already messaged the fella ahead. Joao Santos is the black belt there that runs the gym. And I was like, "Oh no, I'll power through, get there." It was one of those as well, like as soon as you get off the metro, Google Maps takes you down a side street and you feel like you're in, in more like a local area of a town or city, and you're like, "Do I really want to be doing this on my holiday? This is am I going in the right direction?" And if Christian hadn't said to me, he was like, look, you think you're going the wrong way, but then you'll get to like a dead end and there's a shutter. And if you look through, if the shutter's down, look through the shutter and you'll see like there's medals and trophies. You can see all of that in the window. So I was fairly confident, although I felt like I was lost. I was fairly confident on Christian's directions I'd find it. And then once I got there, Tiago, who was the guy that ran the 10 o'clock classes and coaches a lot of the classes, had opened up and was like super welcoming, spoke perfect English. And from a little shutter door, when you walked in, the gym properly opened up. So you had a little like kind of double door and then an alleyway or corridor that was like as wide as those double doors with the reception desk on. And then when you got to the end of that, it opened up into a mat space that was like, you know, the old school blue mats that have kind of got a cool vibe to them. And it's a white plaster building. And the mat space is probably as big, if not bigger than ours. At Matt House, it was like a really decent mat space, and it
looked good on the pictures you put up, to be fair.
Yeah, really, really, really nice mat space. Really cool, really cool instruction. And yeah, the one thing I'd really like, I said, I ended up doing two classes. I'll get back to the story in a minute and I'll talk about the gym for a sec. I did a no-gi class and a gi class. And one thing I really liked about the instruction is the warm-ups were quite chill. It was just warm up your body parts, like,
yeah,
as a group. So the coach would lead it and you'd like, you know, warm up your neck, warm up your shoulders, warm up your ankles, your knees, and then do like some, you know, basic movements on the mat just to get everything warm, and then you'd go straight into drilling. But the drilling, and I don't know if this is how they teach every class, but the two classes I happened to be were a full sequence. So the no-gi was like, you know, you'd start standing, you'd do a duck under to body lock, take down, take them down with like a kind of foot sweep, a drag, and then end up in side control. From side control, you take the back, like, and then you'd have a finish from there, and then the final thing would be an escape. So it was like a one-handed finish from the back, and then it was the escape to that.
Okay.
And then in the gi class, it was a guard pull, a sweep, from the sweep to knee on belly. You came up to knee on belly, okay, and then it was two finishes from knee on belly, and then two escapes against knee on belly. So, you know, one thing I found really challenging as a white belt when I started was you jump into a class and it's like, right, today we're working on half guard, and it's like,
well, trying to put all the movements together.
How the fuck have I ended up here?
Yeah. Like,
whereas that, I felt like even as a day one white belt, you could have an understanding of a sequence of events, how you'd go from being stood up to either finishing or, you know, an escape from that finish. And then we'd do a bit of positional from that, so let's the knee on belly or back day, you'd do like, you know, start positional from the back, first points or finish, switch, and or if it was an odd number, man out, man in, and then you'd have some rolling, and they'd leave the clock on for a little bit to let people, you know, roll or work techniques for a little bit after the class. So after the no-gi one, I posted a photo of it of my session on Instagram, and Chris from Jurassic BJJ message.
We're about to mesh it all back together.
Here we go. This is the meeting point of the story, or the thing that I thought was really cool. Saying, oh, Jarrell was one of my original coaches, you know, sending my best regards. And it was like, in the moment, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, what a small community. And then I was like, hang on. I met this fella in a little town. I knew he trained in London because of his connection to Mill Hill. But I was like, I met this fella in Weymouth. How does he know a guy that runs a school in Portugal? I was like, has he come out and trained here and met him that way? I was like, that doesn't make sense, because he'd have had to be living, if it's one of his first coaches. And after I'd had a couple of beers that night and my brain was kind of like turning over the story, being like, how has this happened? I had to message him. And I asked him, like, how did this happen? So apparently back in 2003 and 2004, Joao had moved to the UK for a little while.
Oh, right.
And Chris's coach at the time had sorted out a place for him to train in I can't ever pronounce it.
It's Welsh, is it?
It's like, you know, Welland Garden City in London.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's just my fucking...
I can't.
My lisp and stuff, mate. I just... Lisp? Whatever it is. I just have certain words I just can't. Can't say. Brilliant. Should have never started podcasting now, but yeah, I'm gonna make sure I stay away from you in future. But he'd sorted out a place to stay, and at the time Joao was a blue belt under Robin Gracie, and those lads like Chris and whoever he was training with at that time. I'm not sure if he was training with Nick at that point or not, but Chris and whoever he was training with only trained in no gi. So it was him that started teaching them in the gi and then pointed them in the direction of RGA, where they met Roger, which kind of started that movement within British BJJ. So he, and he was like, yeah, I really love training there when I'm over in Portugal. So please ask them to say I said hello. So yeah, went back to the next session and was like, oh, by the way, someone messaged me and like Tiago, not even Joao, was like, yeah, Chris. He's like, I know him well. He comes to trains, like whenever he's in Portugal, he'll stop by and train. And like, we had a really good chat about like, you know, how I met him in Weymouth and like, you know, the stuff I've already said about Joao and Chris's link and how like they kind of, you know, Nick was like a pioneer for British BJJ. Joao knew Nick as well, so they must have been all around the same training time, together at that point. But like how, some of the stuff which we've already covered, and it was just a really like wholesome chat. And like, at the, you know, the first session I paid up front for, and then the last session I realised I hadn't paid, so I went to pay on the way out. And Tiago was just like, "No, no, you're a friend of Chris's now. You're a friend of ours. Like, we're not gonna take anything." So I probably shouldn't say that, because now everyone's going to be going to Lisbon and be like, "Yeah, I'm a friend of." Friend of Chris Hearn, but no, like it just for me. I know we talk about the community a lot, but like,
you know, you're seeing it in effect.
We talk about the community in our gym, but it isn't just like the people that you meet here and there in your gym. I think like
it's everywhere.
It is quite a small sport still. Like you can get quite, you know,
it is niche. It's still niche, like.
And it's super niche, and that's it. You know, a few key people, and they, you know, like the 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah.
In jiu-jitsu, it's probably 3 or 4. Like, you know, probably, to know anyone in the community. If they've competed and been on the circuit for a while, like they'll bump into each other and all know each other. But I thought that was a cool kind of coincidental link that links. See, apparently at the time, Joao was living between Lisbon, Barcelona, and London, just getting as good at jiu-jitsu as he could before he ended up settling in Lisbon and opening his school there. Cool. And sadly, I never got to meet him. It was Tiago that taught both the classes, but I've messaged him a bit on Instagram, so hopefully next time I'm out there.
How long were the classes?
They were about an hour. They were hour classes, but classic. I think the evening classes might be a little bit longer, but the morning and the early afternoon, the morning and pre-lunch ones are both an hour, which I think is fine. Like,
was the temperature like in there? Like, was it warm in there?
It was fine, because I was there in
early morning,
end of winter, start of spring, so. Yeah. You know, for most of the time I was out there, it was at max 15 degrees.
Maybe,
but like, it was nice. It was nicer than the UK, but like, you know, it wasn't, you know, it got a bit chilly in the evenings and stuff. So perfect kind of temperature for training and stuff. And one of the other things I wanted to say about that kind of community thing was like, it was on the benefit of away days, because shout out to the BJJ Balance guys, by the way, because they bigged us up on their recent podcast, and I was listening to that Q&A that they did. I think it was on that same episode. It might have been the one before, but yeah, I was listening to an episode of theirs anyway, and they were saying about, you know, cross training and like whether you need to cross train or not, and I'm paraphrasing, so if you want to hear their point actually from their mouths, then please listen to their podcast. If you want to hear what our, you know, what we do would sound like if it had better production values, and me and Mike were American, then maybe maybe listen to that podcast.
And if one of us was a black belt.
Yeah.
Because you have a black belt and a blue belt.
Yeah. Well, we're black belts in life, Mike.
Yeah. Are we? Yeah. No. I think I just got demoted to fucking white.
Anyone that's listened to this podcast for more than one episode knows that we're not even close to that. We're probably lower ranking in life than we are in jiu-jitsu, which is tough.
I hope not.
Which is tough. But one of the things that they were saying was that, you know, if you're at a big gym with a good kind of crop of talent, you don't need to cross train because you've got everything you need there. And they're like, even if you're at a small gym, like you can roll with your professor. And you know, you can get good roles there. So they were kind of arguing whether you need to cross train or not. And I think the conclusion was like, you know, if you're at the right gym, you don't. But I think that kind of misses a part of what we get out of doing away days for me, or like cross training, is like, So firstly,
you connection know, with people is
the is yeah. You're not going to meet all these people and have these kind of cool experiences if you're training. And you might meet a few of them at your gym, but you're limiting yourself. You're definitely limiting that. Hmm. And I think that kind of story from, you know, Weymouth to Lisbon to London kind of is an example of that. But secondly, that something that I think you're missing if you say, oh, well, are you beating everyone at your gym? Because if you're not, then you can just get tough roles at your gym. It's like, well, that's not really an accurate representation of where my game is at. Firstly, you know, if I'm going to be competing against other blue belts, you know,
it's not going to be blue belts from your gym, is
if
it?
If I don't want to get smashed by Shaz, the black belt, several times, because it's like that's not an accurate reflection of where I'm at. And, yeah, you know, it's not, you know, I think the real thing that you do get from away days as well as the connection is, you know, people at your gym learn your game and you learn theirs. And
100%.
Being training with strangers, especially of your level and size, gives you an honest impression of kind of your level and your ability to implement your game on mm-hmm. people of your level that don't know you or don't know the intricacies of your game. So I think that, yeah, that's just was one of my kind of two cents. But yeah, big up to them for shouting us out and actually giving me that kind of thought, because, you know, I was listening to that podcast shortly after the Lisbon thing and was like, I understand what you're saying, because, yeah, to be honest, I would probably be a decent competitor just training at Matt House now. You know, the depth of skill and, you know, it's a big enough club now in a big enough town that, you know, we do generally, you know.
We have heavy mats as well in the evening. Like, you could have 4 brown belts on the mat, you could have 5-6 purple belts, you could have 10 blue belts, do you know, or more in either.
Exactly.
You could have 10 purples sometimes if it's a Saturday, you know, or an odd day where it's just because people's schedules are different, you don't know what turns up like.
Exactly. And I think there are people that train out of our gym, like the James, for example, doesn't cross train anywhere.
No.
And he competes and, you know, he gets results.
Does well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's essential, but I do think that, you know, maybe it's because we've got no life, Mark, and we just like the, you know, if we didn't travel away and have pints, like, you know, train with strangers and have pints, we'd be doing nothing with our days.
But, I mean, we get a lot more out of the socialness of BJJ while also not wanting to socialise with anyone.
Yeah.
It's a fucking weird one. But yeah, no, it's just full of cool people, and like, we all have a common interest, which is jiu-jitsu, so it's easier to fucking bridge a gap with someone. Like, you can meet some, you could say, oh, this is my friend Bob, and Bob is a fucking dickhead, like, you're like, Bob's a dickhead. But if Bob's a dickhead and does jiu-jitsu, you probably have more fucking time for him than if he's just Bob, some dickhead from down the street, like, do you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
I think so. it makes sense to me, but I don't know if that's because we've spent too much time together now.
You're just used to decoding my
that's
fucking...
it. No, we can equally speak in nonsense to each other. But yeah, I hope that wasn't too boring for anyone anyway. I just thought that was a cool kind of cool story, and it allowed me to tell a story about two different gyms and kind of the...
Well, that's all we're about, is picking up other people.
It's about. So yeah, do check them out. Jurassic BJJ, Gracie Lisboa Jiu-Jitsu, both on Instagram. If you're in Weymouth, definitely check out Chris's place. You know, cool guy, great instruction. And if you're in Lisbon, you know, I did look at other gyms that might be a bit closer to where I was staying in Lisbon as well, because before I knew Chris's link, I just had it as a word of mouth ref from Christian. But like, you know, after training there, I would never go training anywhere else in Lisbon. The instruction was super tech. Even like, you know, even rolling with white belts there, you know, where the fundamentals are just really sound, and you know, can have a good role with someone because they're clearly learning good jiu-jitsu mm-hmm. as well. So like the techniques they're trying are legit, and it was super welcoming. So yeah, check out both of them, please do. And yeah, as always, you know, ex-marshal, Degen 10,
Flow State BJJ, it's
DegenPod@flowstate.com.
Yeah,
and Salt Degen for 10% off at saltandstorm.co.
If you're looking for another podcast to listen to, obviously you can listen to Balance BJJ, or you can listen to Human Jiu-Jitsu podcast. Shout out to them, because we'll keep pushing the two of them, as they've been very good to us.
Yeah, all good.
So,
yeah,
you know,
if you want to listen to, like I say, more interesting guests, go Human Z. If you want to listen to better production values, but people still shooting the shit about jiu-jitsu, go BJJ balance. But please do come back, because we need you.
Yeah, we need you. Yeah. I want your money as well. Rash guard's coming.
Mike's got rash guards to sell you. So on that note, anything you want to close out, or are you happy there?
Don't test me, bro.
Don't test him. Don't test him. All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed. As always, play it to your nan.